Thank you for being here. This is your host, Positive Phil, with the Positive Phil Show. Are you ready to get positive? I love it. I love good people. I love our listeners, our sponsors. Today on the show, Taffa Jefferson. He was on the football field, Chicago Bears. Now he's helping people. He has been helping people. He runs an uber successful senior care franchise founded in 2007. Him and his partner, his co-founder, Chad, they're rocking it. They have big hearts, awesome, awesome people. And I love the fact that he's here on the show. We rise by lifting others. Isn't that true? That's a true statement. I don't care how many push-ups you can do on the football field. The strongest people make time to help others, even if they're struggling on their own. Taffa began his career as a professional athlete playing for the Chicago Bears. Injuries forced him to retire early. And boy, he has a big smile because he's changing an entire industry and giving families a sense of ease. And he's taking care of people. People with dementia. People with Alzheimer's. Parkinson's disease. The senior home care industry is something that you can actually be proud of if you're involved in it. And I'm glad Taffa is on the Positive Phil Show. Never be afraid to help others in their time of need. Listen, it's raining in Southern California, and I love the rain. We need it. But when life starts raining down on you, I will be there to walk with you in the rain. You need those type of people in your life. You need those that will walk with you when life gets tough. And you need companies that you can depend on and individuals within those companies that you can depend on. What are you doing in your life to make a difference? Starts with a smile. All right, let's put our hands together for Taffa Jefferson.
And, you know, I tell everybody I had a quick cup of coffee in the NFL, you know, and, you know, the injuries just pile up on you so quickly. But I remember, like it was yesterday, we were out in Platteville, Wisconsin, man. And boy, it was like, there was like nothing out there, just fields of grain.
And good people. You'll find some good people.
Good people. It was great because I came from, you know, I was born in Los Angeles, raised out here in Orange County. And, you know, going to a small town like that, it was neat for me to see that, you know, out in the Midwest, there's just a different pace, and there's something to be desired, you know, when you're, you know, we get in the rat race and, you know, with work and with family and whatnot, it's just so nice to just slow things down, you know?
Slow it down is right. Try to live in the now. You played for the Chicago Bears, right?
Yeah. So that was quite an experience. You know, it was fun. It was eye-opening, but it was certainly a business. So it was cool. You know, I was one of the lucky few who was able to, you know, produce on the field, and I got a shot. It didn't last very long. As a matter of fact, my buddy just took over the head coaching job for the L.A. Rams. That was one of my quarterbacks. So I got to text him sometime today and jar him a little bit and make sure he's calling the right plays.
You are awesome, man. You are awesome. I'm looking at your bio, and the company that you're running, that you built, is called AmadaSeniorCare.com.
Yeah. It's Amada Senior Care. And it was a company that I started out of my mom's basement, you know. And it just, you know, people took a flyer on me. And I just had a work ethic that just wouldn't quit, you know, even to this day. I mean, I stayed up last night till 4 a.m. and got up at 6 just to go to work because I'm excited to work, you know. It's like I love my job. And I don't even look at it as a job. It's like a hobby. I pinch myself all the time. I'm like, I can't believe I get paid to do this, you know. So, you know, it's all about finding that balance. And if you love what you do, it's not work. I truly believe in that, you know?
Absolutely. And you have two things going on, lighting your path. I think if you light other people's paths, your path will be lit up. You're giving an entrepreneur the chance to build a business, number one. And you're also, you know that business is not just a sandwich that someone can eat or a smoothie franchise. You're actually helping them build a business to help people.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is over the years, you know, I've been doing this, Phil, for, you know, I'm going on like 20 years now, right? So I'm pretty comfortable in this space. You know, I've seen a lot of changes happen. And what's interesting is over the years, I've started to realize that as, you know, we really focus on our core business, which is providing excellent care to the families and the seniors that we serve, you know, my core business really is people development, just like you. You know, I'm able to bring someone in who has been thinking about being an entrepreneur, who's wanted to do something for quite some time, and they just literally answered the bell, you know. And it's an exhilarating feeling whenever you're involved with something like that. But there's a lot at stake. So, you know, we take it very extremely seriously, and it's a huge responsibility. So for us, it's something where, you know, we take great pride in the work that we do, but also we know that there's a lot riding on it. So it's very risky, as you know, but being an entrepreneur is not easy. You know, it's high risk, high reward, you know.
Keep trying. Don't give up. And I'm sure when you started this, and I'm sure, I don't know, I'm looking at a picture of you online, and you have a big smile. You have a great smile. Oh. But from football to senior care, that's a big transition.
Yeah, you know, just like you, my mother was in the healthcare industry. She was a caregiver. And prior to coming over here, she came over from the islands. Her dream was to be a nurse. And when she came over, she met my father, and they got connected. They started dating. They got married, and they just started their family right away. Well, you know, they eventually had my older brother, and so she had to put her nursing on the back burner. And there were five of us, and so it's tough trying to raise a family of five. And at the time, my father, he's always been an entrepreneur, and so she had to raise us kids. There's four boys and one girl, and we were very active. You know, we were very young, so she was a caregiver. And when I was fortunate enough to earn a football scholarship and graduate with a business degree, you know, one day she said, "Son, you should really consider my line of business because it's growing. It's a field where the demographics are highly in favor of growth. And today we have 10,000 baby boomers turning 65 each and every day. That number is going to go to 15,000 per day very soon. It's going to be our largest growing demographic in the country. And so, with that, I said, you know, I'll just do some market research and see if there's anything to this. And I was completely floored. You know, I was blown away with the things that I was reading and the things that I was learning about this senior population and this demographic to come. And so I said, you know, what the heck? I mean, I'm fresh out of college. I've got my business degree, and, you know, why not take a stab at it? You know, I studied entrepreneurship because I wanted to be like my father and build a business. And with my mother's, you know, insistence on, you know, she was very persistent. You know, you really should do it. You really should do it. And I did it. And then with the support of my fiance, who is my wife now, and my father being there to kind of encourage me, it was just a perfect storm. And, you know, I love being around people. I love meeting new people, getting to know them on a personal level. It was a perfect fit for me. It was something where, you know, whenever you're growing your business, you have to have a desire to kind of build your own brand, right? And so for me, it was never, I never looked at it as a sales. You know, I was really hyper-focused on spreading the good news, you know, spreading the good news like, hey, you know, this service is available to you. Can you believe, you know, the type of folks that we have working for us? These are just salt of the earth caregivers, and, you know, we carefully screened them, and, you know, we had several differentiators. But I was out there just pushing it. And eventually we connected with several referral sources, word spread, and then I was out the gates. You know, I was able to grow the business, and we just never looked back.
It's a tough path, though, because, man, this industry, even it is big, but you get a lot of, I don't know, you get a lot of bad companies, you know, because it's hard training good caregivers. It's really hard training you as a leader. You have to be a visionary. You have to have a big heart. You have to have compassion. I asked this one guy the other day, he has like 4,000 employees. I said, how do you get there? How do you motivate? He goes, I bring the best out of people. I said, how do you do that? He says, I smile a lot.
Yeah. You know what's interesting is I met one of the – you're in California, so you're very familiar with a burger stop. I'm a burger junkie. And there's one fast food place in particular that I just enjoy the customer service. The prices are reasonable. And I'm going to give them a big plug here, but it's In-N-Out Burger.
Yes.
And I was fortunate enough to meet the head of their personnel development. And I said to him, I said, gosh, every time I go into your restaurants, I mean, what is it? Like, you guys have done a phenomenal job of just recruiting employees that are just eager to go above and beyond. And, you know, I said, what is the secret? And he shared with me, he's like, you know what we really, really look for? We look for big smiles. We look for people who just have a big personality through their smile. And once you can pass that test, that is a clear indication as to what type of person you are, right? And, of course, they do personality tests, but that's their biggest test. And it's just so simple. It's just so easy, you know? But I thought that was, you know, thought-provoking for me. So when we bring caregivers in to interview, I mean, if you're close to one of our offices, but we have a couple locations down in San Diego. But we like to have an open office where, you know, I love to put my office at the front of the office so I can see all the staff coming in and coming out, you know. And we love to read body language. There are so many things you can tell from an individual just for them sitting on your couch waiting to be interviewed. You know, I've even gone so far as to get a nice, big, comfortable couch in my front receptionist area with an extra deep, long bench so they can get very comfy and cozy. Because as they fill out their applications, I want to know who's going to get on their iPhone and fall asleep because they're immediately eliminated. And I want to know who's going to be sitting on the corner of the couch waiting patiently for my HR person to come out for their interview. And sometimes what we do is we extend that waiting period. We'll wait an extra 10, 15 minutes to see if they're going to be patient. Are they observing the traffic in and out of the office? Are they constantly on their cell phones? Are they, you know, talking or texting? Because if they're doing that, that type of activity is certainly going to happen when they're working one-on-one in the home environment when, you know, the supervisor's not checking in on them. So there's a lot that you can tell from an applicant. And so we have a systematic approach to finding great people, and then we train them. You know, we have systems in place to pour back into our staff as they join our family, and we just take care of our staff. That's what it comes down to.
That is what it comes down to. I keep thinking about In-N-Out Burger. You know, I'm a burger junkie as well, and my son, when they open up a new burger place, we're there. And the other day, I asked him, I said, what's your favorite one? And we have the $20 burgers at times, you know, these restaurants that have the big burgers. And he said, In-N-Out. I said, why? He said, because they're friendly there. Boy.
Yeah.
That's it.
Says a lot. Says a lot, you know? And they're always hustling. You know, it's just a different environment when you go to other fast food restaurants. I mean, I don't want to completely analyze the fast food industry, but I think it's very interesting what you learn. Even McDonald's made an announcement that they're changing their service model by going to servicing their patrons, you know, and their visitors and their guests at the tables now. So they're trying to shake things up. Some organizations are starting to take a close look at systematizing the way they deliver their food by integrating more computers and robotics in the kitchen. So, you know, I mean, it's interesting how people are. We live in interesting times as technology kind of advances here. You have some pressures that are put on with wage and hour. So it's going to be interesting to see how some of the fast food chains kind of move forward. But I think having that personal touch, making it a personal service, hiring good folks, paying them really well, it proves to be a better business model, in my humble opinion.
No, absolutely. And I really like that Lindsay Snyder, 34-year-old girl. And I remember people telling her, reading about it. This is the In-N-Out CEO or founder. Her parents passed away or something. Yeah.
It was her granddaughter. She's the granddaughter. Yeah.
Unbelievable. And they told her that basically that, you know, it wouldn't work to sell the majority ownership. And she has built herself something, net worth around $1 billion. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. She's one of the youngest, wealthiest residents here in Orange County, and very smart gal, sharp business mind, and you know she's not going to cut corners. And you know the thing is the product is just great. So they have a great product. The price point is right, and they're going to have loyal customers such as myself and my family. We go there all the time. But yeah, it's not rocket science, you know, and that's, you know, that's the unique thing about this great country that we live in, is we all get the opportunity to do whatever we want, right? No one is held back, in my opinion. So if you want to be a rocket scientist, then go be a rocket scientist, right? You want to be a surgeon, be a surgeon. You want to work at a burger joint and flip hamburgers because it makes you happy. It's an entry level position, but go ahead and do that. Or you want to start your own business venture, you're free to do that as well. So we live in a wonderful country.
Is this difficult to franchise? Now you're a franchise, right? Is this difficult to grow, or are you? Do you have good franchisees? Is there a good culture?
Absolutely. You know, I was not familiar with the franchise model. To be completely honest with you, I was aware that there was a franchise model, but I never really put thought into how the franchise model could help me grow my brand. You know, when I came into Orange County, I started my company in 1997, and I was just thinking to myself, I'm young, I'm out of college, I just finished playing a little bit of ball in the NFL, got a little bit of money. But, you know, let me start my business, and I'm just going to be very assertive, and I'm just going to try to plant my flag here in Orange County, and I just want to dominate the marketplace. I want to provide great care. So I was thinking, I thought I was thinking big, but years later, it wasn't until 2012, 2013, I really put some consideration into franchising, and due in large part to my business partner, Chad Fotheringham and Jared Turner. Those gentlemen, they were instrumental in convincing me that this was the path, you know, where we could grow the brand and have like-minded individuals come in and join us, work just as hard and be just as committed to growing the company as I was. And so I'm a firm believer in franchising. I think it makes it a lot easier for someone who is considering getting into a business to step into processes, to have protocols and procedures in place, and essentially just have a recipe for success. And of course, there are, you know, you got to make sure you're bringing in the right people, because sometimes if you bring someone in who's too entrepreneurial, it can hurt you, because, you know, they may not want to work within the confines of a franchise. You know, it's, you know, you can't sell hot dogs at Starbucks, right? Corporate's just not going to allow it. You can sell lattes, and the good thing about the franchise model is a latte in La Jolla, California, is the same latte here in San Clemente. It's the same latte, you know, in Jackson, Mississippi. So from that perspective, when you really take a look at the franchising model, it really allows an individual to get a jump start and not have to go through the headaches and heartache of making multiple mistakes. It's just kind of a, you know, a quick start, you know, if you will.
I love the franchise model, a proven business model that works. You have people that are building businesses together. I just, when I was developing for Quiznos and Raving Brands, which was a huge, you know, out in Atlanta, Georgia, and then Carvel Ice Cream, I brought them out here, and Cinnabon. I was running all these brands, and they weren't really helping people. And then since my mom's a nurse, radiation oncology, emergency room, she used to pull my brother out of high school, out of class, come sit with this old lady, she's dying, right? That type of thing. And we would sit next to this lady and hold her hand. And now I live in a senior community that just lifted the ban. I would love to buy a franchise for my mom, because I asked my mom the other day, I said, you're still a nurse. Why don't you give this up? Wisconsin, fighting the traffic, the cold. She said, because I love helping people.
Here's the thing is, one of the things that makes us really different is we're not your traditional franchising company. Don't get me wrong, we are very proficient with franchising. As a matter of fact, we've grown our company organically, which means that we just do things the good old-fashioned way. We roll our sleeves up, we hand-select our franchise partners, and we take extra caution and great care in who we bring on, because, you know, for us, it's all about a slow, sustained, healthy growth, right? But absolutely, we listen to our franchise partners. The reason that I said that before is we take our time is because it's all about protecting our culture. We want all of our franchise partners to know that we've been there. We know what it's like to build the business from the ground up. You're not working with guys who are hired guns to come in and run the business. We know what it takes to get from $30,000 a month in revenue to $100,000 to $1 million to $5 million to $7 million to $9 million. We know what it takes. And so whenever our franchise partners speak, we listen. And the great thing about the culture that we've developed here is we have a franchise advisory board where we, every quarter, we meet, and we just moderate it. We listen to the topics that are top of mind or that concern them, and our goal is to implement and change it immediately prior to the next quarterly meeting. I think that's been a huge, huge help. And that's been one of the reasons why we've been ranked up at, you know, one of the best franchises to own, is because we take the feedback that we get so seriously, and we treat it with the utmost of importance, and we try to make sure that our franchise partners know that, you know, there's nothing that they haven't experienced that we haven't, you know, had to deal with. And so we're in the same dogfight with them. We're trying to help them grow their business, and to what end that we can make them successful, we'll do it.
You seem like a really great guy. I would love to. I feel like crawling through this microphone and giving you a big hug, because you just seem like a really nice guy, and it seems like you have a lot of empathy and compassion, but you also have the skills that you probably, you know, on the football field and life and business, that teamwork and integrity. You have to have all those things.
Yeah, you really do. And you know, the thing that's most important to us is just be understanding and listen, you know, more than you talk. You know, it's it's just one of the things that's you know, central to what we do is we want to express to our partners that, hey, you know what, we don't know everything, and your feedback's important. And as we poll the rest of our partners, if it's something that concerns everyone else, we like to make changes quickly. We want to be looked at as that little speedboat bobbing in and out of waves, you know, against an industry which, you know, has huge ships. They're like the Queen Mary's, right, where they're big ships. We want to be that little rubber speedboat bobbing in and out, being able to be very responsive to what our partners need.
Yeah, sometimes it's not good being the big ship like the Queen Mary. I think that thing is haunted, isn't it?
Yeah. I think they're going to put it back into service, so that'll be neat to see. Yeah.
So what makes you smile?
Wow, what makes me smile? You know, there's a couple things. I wouldn't say it's one thing that makes me smile. First and foremost, it's my family. You know, being able to come home to a loving wife and four wonderful children, and my parents are still alive and well, and they're in good health. At the end of the day, the reason you and I work so hard is to provide. You know, I'm called to be a provider in my household, and my wife, she loves being at home with our children. She's a stay-at-home mother, and you know, we've been very blessed that she hasn't had to work for, I don't know, 18, 19 years now. So that's her ministry, is working with our children and making sure that when Dad comes home from a hectic, crazy day at work, you know, we have a peaceful home. So my family, first and foremost, they make me smile. But also, being a part of an organization that is built to share success with others. You know, in our company, we're able to have a huge impact with the senior community, right? But it's not just the seniors that we're servicing, it's also the sons and daughters. I mean, we get letters and emails thanking us for the wonderful jobs that we've done. And anytime I can hop on a plane and drop into a state like Texas and be picked up curbside by, you know, a modest senior care vehicle and go to the office and everything's just, you know, in line. I'm traveling to Scottsdale, Arizona on Monday. I just look forward to seeing our franchise partners and helping them, you know, be successful in building their business and sharing in that success with them. That makes me very, very happy, and that makes me smile. Also, you know, sitting down with a senior, just sitting down on the couch and visiting with them for 45 minutes to an hour. I mean, sometimes, you know, I get locked into conversations with some of our elderly folks that we service, and these are wonderful people. They built this great country, and that's one of the things that I really hope that we can instill in our children is to just pause and just share time with a senior, because this great generation, they're not going to be around for much longer, and we're losing some great stories. So, you know, when I think about what makes me smile, you know, all of those things make me smile. A nice, you know, dinner with my wife and children, that makes me smile. I'm a barbecuing junkie, so smoking turkey on Christmas, that's going to make me smile.
So, oh, my goodness.
Everything. I'm kind of an adrenaline junkie, so I love to snowboard. I love to, you know, mountain bike. I love exercising. I love being on our boat, being on the water, enjoying time with our family. That makes me smile. You know, there's a lot of things that make me smile, but, you know, really, you know, just appreciating each and every day as it comes. You know, it's, you know, living in the moment is what really makes me smile.
Yeah, it's hard to live in the moment at times because life goes by so fast. But man, take a deep breath one day at a time. It all makes sense. We need people like you, an entrepreneur that cares. We need more.
Yeah, I think, you know, there are a lot of folks that are out there that think just like me. I try to surround myself with like-minded people, and it's really neat to see that. Even in our system here at Amada, there are a lot of similar personalities where we are very, very goal-driven, where we want to be successful, and we want to do things for the right reasons. For us, it's not about, the profit, right? I mean, those things come if you're building a nice, sustainable, a healthy business, right? There's a lot of people that are out there that want to do the same thing, that want to do the right thing, and there are a lot of seniors that are out there that need our service, So it's all about getting to the consumer, delivering our message in a way that makes sense, that they understand, and helping these families deal through a very difficult time in their life.
You are awesome. I do appreciate you spending time on the Positive Phil Show. I asked my son the question last night. I said, what do you think success is? And what does success mean to you? He's 10 years old in front of the whole family, and I was so proud of him. He said, so I can have enough money to give to as many people as I wanted to, and so that I could buy whatever I wanted to.
That's great. It's interesting that you say that, because my goal in life is not to be wealthy. My goal in life is not to have a uber successful business. My goal is just like your 10-year-old son. What I want to be when I grow up is a philanthropist. That's what I want to be when I grow up. I want to be able to give back to my community, cause people to think about their purpose here, and just help, just help out. It's one of the things that we always talk about, is a key component of being successful in our business, is just having a servant's heart, having a yes ma'am attitude, or, how can I be of assistance and how can I help? And I think when people see that and they understand that that's a part of who you are, I think it resonates with people, with consumers, and, people that you have you can impact. And so, if you're trying to stuff a round peg into a square hole, it's not going to work. People can see it a mile away. But if you truly want to just help people and be a resource, I think most people can see through that, and they'll want to do business with you, and they'll want to work with you.
I love it, man. Give me a high five through the mic and a hug. I appreciate you spending time. Let's visit Taffa at AmadaSeniorCare.com. Do you have a specific link for your franchise?
If you go to AmadaSeniorCare.com, at the top right-hand side of the web page, you'll see a tab that says franchise. You just click on that, and it'll drive you right into our franchise development team. And we're on standby, and we're pretty responsive. And, we look forward to anyone who's possibly interested in working with seniors and helping them age in place.
Be a giver, not a taker. That's what my mom keeps telling me. She sends those texts to me every day, it seems. I appreciate it, Taffa. Continue doing what you're doing.
Likewise, and I appreciate what you're doing for those entrepreneurs who are considering getting into business for themselves. I always tell people, being an entrepreneur is difficult. It's high risk, high reward, but you can always afford to bet on yourself, right? As long as folks are willing to do that, and do it for the right reasons, they'll be successful in whatever they decide to do.
You are my new best friend. I will be your supporter down here. I'll send out your links, and I appreciate it, man. Continue doing it, and just take care. But next time I'm in Orange County, let's have a burger together.
Absolutely. There's a couple spots. They're hole in the walls, but I'll definitely take you up on that. And next time I'm down in San Diego, I'll look you up as well, Phil.
Thanks, Taffa. Take care, man. Keep smiling.
All right, take care, buddy.
All right, bye-bye.
There you have it. Taffa Jefferson, great guy. Great company. Thank you for being here. Let your voice be heard. PositivePhil.com. Reach out to us on our Twitter account, AskPositivePhil. We're close to, I think, 80,000 followers on that particular channel, and it's growing. Be kind to one another and be kind to yourself. Thank you.